Hey, welcome to the Mead House. Jeff here.
Chris here.
We are on the road, literally on the road.
Coming back from the Valkyrie Horn Mead Competition.
So this is our update of the week from spending, Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
Yeah.
In Minneapolis.
In good mead company.
Oh, yes. So many people in the mead community that are hanging out, having fun, having a great time. Got to try a fantastic number of things. And
yeah.
Really enjoyed ourselves. So
this year, for the first time in a while, Jeff got to be your best of show tasting.
Well,
in a couple of categories.
For a couple of categories. It's not the first time.
Well, I didn't say first time in a few years. Last time in a few years.
I think I did last time, too.
Now, okay, never mind.
I could be wrong. I know I've done...
You mentioned you hadn't done it in a while during competition. Nonetheless, we're coming back. And before we get started to what we're going to do, hey, there's not going to be a meat of the week this week, we're literally on the road.
That would be illegal.
Yeah, that would be illegal.
We will have to drink some meat.
When we get back.
Not that we haven't drank plenty of meat this
week. Oh, my gosh.
Maybe our livers deserve a break.
Yeah, maybe. All right, but we do want to thank our listeners. Thanks for you. And thank you for the guys at the Valkyrie Horn that came up and said, hey, been listening. Great here. Love your format. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
It's always nice to get to interact with you guys on a personal level and, actually get to, have some back and forth as opposed to sending emails or messages on Facebook and things like that. Not that I don't enjoy interacting with you guys, but, meeting people that listen and interact in person, even better.
Yeah, and like a couple people said, putting a face to the names, kind of nice. Mm-hmm. All right, and also we need to thank Box and Barleycorn.
Yes, as always, Box Barleycorn is sponsoring us. They are helping keep the lights on and the recording going and these episodes available in perpetuity on our website or wherever you listen to podcasts as you please. They're doing a great service to us. You're hopefully doing a great service to them by letting you know about that as well.
Yeah.
Because the local homebrew store community, the local homebrew store industry is
shrinking. I mean,
badly.
Valkyrie, I actually met two people who closed their supply shops.
Not surprised at all.
So,
because there are a number of larger supply shops that are kind of monopolizing the market as we speak.
Yeah.
So getting to work with Vox Barleycorn, a small company that can help out with, wherever you're trying to go.
And, they, like we said many times before, they've got the passion, they have the knowledge, they have the supplies you need. And so, if you go on MHP10 and get your 10% off your online orders, or if you go in and ask about it, you might get it there.
But that'll probably cover part of shipping or tax or something along those lines to help their competitive prices stay just as competitive.
Yeah.
You win there, they win, we win, everybody wins.
It's a great thing. But Valkyrie Horn. Now, I learned a couple things about Valkyrie Horn this weekend. One, it is the largest mead-exclusive competition in North America.
At the moment, the Mazer Cup did not occur last year. We are still waiting to see the details for what Mazer Cup is going to look like this year. Hoping this fall we'll have another Mazer Cup, but for the moment...
Valkyrie Horn is number one on the board.
Yeah, and comparatively, they're not that old. I am always happy to see the direction that Valkyrie Horn is growing. They got really interesting to me when I was first starting out here because they're... education section is really solid.
Matter of, they had a couple of really good times with education. The second day they did a trivia contest.
Trivia was fun. You got a pretty rousing success in the Guess the Mead competition.
Thank you for that. I actually had two mystery meads and a QR code you could scan and tell them what you think it is. A
little Google survey with all kinds of different questions, and some of them, most of them, were really freaking hard.
Yeah.
What was the start of gravity? What's the ABV? What's the final gravity? We're all guessing.
What is the flavor? How was it finished?
Were the adjuncts? Yeah. What kind of honey did we use?
And I did get a chance to get online and do the questionnaire for the second mystery, but I did win the first one, which was surprising as all get out to me because I'm not a judge. I enjoy meat. But he goes, you said light oak, and it was actually like French oak. But you were closer to anybody else on that guess. So, and I actually got the starting ABV. And he goes, that was pretty close to the finish, but there was like somebody who was closer on the finish. On the gravity, on the ABV, the gravity.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what he said the ABV was, but I did more correct answers than anybody else for mystery meet number one. I'm pretty happy with myself.
That's, yeah, work it out. No, and so, and then today, Saturday, we are recording this on the 21st, on our way home from competition, because, you know, we don't have a dog in the fight for the award ceremony. We're going to hang out and, you know, sleep in our own beds tonight so we can actually get a good night's rest.
And I think we should start entering, you know, contest things just because I think we're getting better at it.
For funsies, yes. But the problem with that is going to be that if we're going to have two classes of stuff that we talk about on the air. We're going to have stuff that's a little bit generic that we can enter in contests and see how it does. And we're going to have stuff that's weird and specific that, you know, if somebody listening hears, oh yeah, no, I heard Jeff talk about his pink peppercorn, rose hip, and eucalyptus.
Now, in fairness, one of the meats I saw go across the board on when as a steward, I saw a black peppercorn, with black peppercorn, white peppercorn, pink peppercorn, and long pepper, all in the same meat. And I can't think that's anything less than, oh my goodness, this is going to, yeah, ooh, that's tingly. But,
you know, the fact that we came up with this idea and someone else came up with this idea, very possible.
Yeah.
The fact that somebody like heard us talk about it and decided to do their own thing based on what we were doing, very possible.
Yeah, that's fine.
But, you know, there is a distinct possibility as judges that if we have something very specific, like, you know, two or three different ingredients in very specific combinations, that becomes recognizable to people that have listened to the show. Is that something to worry about?
Maybe. I don't know.
I would like to think that my other judges can maintain a level of anonymity and good sportsmanship that they're going to measure things on the merits.
And, you know, it is blind, and we have a good shot of just thinking, no. But nonetheless, you know, but we can keep you updated on the things we're trying. If you decide to do something else in the same competition, hey, if you beat us, congrats. If you don't, let's learn from each other anyway. Anyway, Jeff, was there a particular meet you really liked that you judged?
So, as far as maintaining a level of anonymity, I don't want to say too much about the specifics of various things that I judged and enjoyed and things like that.
Can you say about what the flavorings were?
I judged a lot of sweet things this weekend.
Unusual for you.
Out of character for me.
Yeah.
At least it's not exactly what I like. You know, I always try to judge fairly and based on what I, you know, would consider to be correct. But yeah, by the way, as a public service announcement to anybody listening, remember, when you enter a competition, I notice a lot of folks entering sweet meats that they would probably be considered sweet based on final gravity, but they did not taste sweet to me. And I'm not saying you lost a lot of points because they didn't taste sweet to me when you entered it as a sweet, but
didn't gain any?
They sure didn't gain any.
Yeah.
And that's
actually something Bridget brought up. He says, they say if it's at around this gravity, it's considered a sweet meat. Taste your meat.
Right.
Is it sweet to you? It's a sweet meat. Stop.
BJCP includes those final gravities as a guideline, a rough guideline at that. And no, if it doesn't taste sweet, it's not a sweet meat.
Then don't call it one. It's okay. And, you know, make it sweet, whatever you want to do, but it's okay.
Yeah, the gravity there, it is a little too absolute to say, oh yeah, this is that. Not how that works.
But you think we can talk about some of the flavors we've encountered?
Yeah, in general sense, we can talk about some of the things we encountered.
Like the ube?
The ube was interesting. The ube, I had a commercial mead with some ube in it that I judged, and there were parts of that that I really enjoyed. The ube had the flavor of the ube by itself wasn't all that interesting because it had a lot of other stuff going into that mead, but the ube contributed color, and it contributed. Ube, if you're not familiar, is a purple sweet potato of general Japanese origin. And so when me and the gentleman I was judging with in that round took a sip of it, took a few sips of it, went back to it a couple of times to say, oh, did we like this one better, that one better? Oh, we realized we had blue all over our teeth.
Like you've been eating blueberries?
Like an indigo blue. And I don't think I've ever eaten enough blueberries to get my teeth or tongue to that blue.
But. Wow. That's funny. But there was a lot of grape flavor. I mean, there's a lot of Metaphlum. And guys, Metaphlum is great. Don't get us wrong. But, you know.
I always see a little bit of. I think I saw less Metaphlum than I have in years previous.
Okay. I saw a lot.
It is there. And it is still widely used, but bear in mind, I think the time that, you know, Metaphlum is automatic metal may be waning. Another thing that I saw a lot of is Amarana.
Amarana was pretty big this year.
Yes, it was pretty popular. And
Amarana now is what we saw. It's a lichen oak wood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what you if you're going to, you know, finish it in a barrel or something, you can add this to it. Well, the issue was oak and amaranth.
And I think that's a more interesting way to use it than just throwing a bunch of amaranth at something. Somebody pointed out that amaranth just tastes like Cinnamon Toast Crunch to me. And they're not wrong. And now I can't get that out of my head. So there's that.
So from this point on, amaranth tastes like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. On your notes. Okay. Well, I will be honest. The Blackest Night meat I tried,
mm-hmm.
by any chance, it had toasted honey, burnt sugar, and black cherry. And it was so, it literally was just dark gets for me.
Well, yeah, yeah.
But
they weren't lying when they came up with that name.
But it was very fruity. I was thinking it was about a low water or no water mead,
mm-hmm.
and it's actually in a can. It was commercial meat. It was not bad. But the only bad thing I see about it was almost thick enough to be poured over ice cream. It's the only gripe I had about it, because it was good. But and then we had a lot. Actually, we had something that happened that I got a chance to taste second day, on Saturday, today, that it was a black locust traditional.
Nice. Oh, I wish I had got the chance to try that.
The reason I did not bring it to you, Jeff, is because you would have been sad. Somehow, it tasted like dirt.
Really?
It tasted. I mean, I had three other people I was working with. And tried, is it me, or is this just not taste right? And they're like, what is that? It smelled good, but it tastes horrible.
That is really weird.
And that's sad, because black locust is among the most flavorful honeys you can use, as I understand, I've told.
I know it is very sweet. I'm not sure it's necessarily the most flavorful, but it is very sweet. It is almost water white. I'm pretty sure I had a black locust within, like, my old yard area for foraging, because I'm pretty sure I had a, based on the fact that they were bringing in honey that was almost completely clear.
Yeah.
My little bees in my old house backyard pulling black locust at some point.
But yeah, but it was sparkling.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a big sparkly person. That's why I had other people try to give me their opinion. Yeah, maybe the sparkling's throwing me off, but no, they thought. And we had one that was the smell was the taste, and it wasn't a good smell.
That's unfortunate, too.
Our lead in the steward area, he says, here, he put a red tag on top of it, and he says, here, smell this, it smells great, to a couple of the judges, and I'm surprised they didn't take him out to the woodshed, because the running commentary, one of the stewards actually drank it, and she said, it tastes like it smells. Now, here's the problem. Now, this was a experimental batch, mm-hmm. to start with, and it was a hobbyist. It was a homebrew.
Yep.
And it smelled like a baby diaper, not a clean one.
Oh, That is generally a sign of enteric, if I'm not mistaken. It's
I don't know what it was, but I was
just a bacterial infection, friends.
Smell, take it off. Whoa, no, put that right back down. Oh my gosh. And they left it up on the counter as they're getting rid of all the other pores that are anywhere, you know, could not be worse. As we're dumping out the ones that are mostly empty, because it's just, they thought that was funny. And I thought it was cruel. But when you get bored with enough meat, anything's funny.
I suppose. I mean.
But, you know, guys, number one, if you're learning from people on YouTube, go for it. Taste your meat. Smell your meat before you send it to us, please. Because I have a feeling if anybody smelled that before he sent it to us, if it went bad in the bottle, that's one thing. If it smelled that bad before it got there, come on.
Yeah, I gotta imagine if it smelled that bad, you would know not to put that in a bottle.
I would hope so. But we had a couple of bottle corruptions this year. I didn't have either one of them.
I see you're still wearing the same shirt you put on this morning.
Yeah, you know, in case I didn't mention it before, a couple of years ago, it's actually 2 years ago, you know, legitimately, I had what was called a bottle geyser. I opened up one that was, this is a lemon still mead. And I popped the top and I got a shower. And there was like less than a quarter inch left in the bottle after they were finished. And they actually had to use the secondary bottle and making sure they opened it very delicately so they can get a taste for it. Because it self-carbonated, they lost points. But two other people, they did not get showered, but they went all the way up their arms.
You know, a mess is a mess.
But kill your yeast, guys.
You know, that does remind me of something, though. This year, they had so many volunteers that they actually turned away stewards.
Yeah, they did.
Which
and,
is
and we had a lot more judges this year.
Yes.
We actually had enough judges to put up two more tables.
And not only that, the largest table, flight, whatever you want to say, that I had to judge all weekend was 5. They don't generally get that much bigger with Valkyrie's Horn, but I've judged up to 8 at competitions, yeah. Smaller competitions.
Our biggest tray, the flight we took out, was 6. Nothing was over 6 all weekend. And mind you, this was with 300 commercial entries and 400 homebrews. Nobody got more than 6 in a round.
I think Josh was telling me that they had one table with 7.
Really? I didn't see it.
That might be one category all by itself for something or other on the commercial side. So,
and if you guys tried to become a steward here at the Valkyhorn, try again. There's a reason they were turning people away, because we don't have a lot of room in our steward area. And we don't want to be bumping into people all day long. But we have a lot of fun.
That
really honestly do.
This year for staff, you guys were all previous employees, or not employees, but volunteers.
Volunteers.
Yeah, you guys were previous volunteers. Everybody was already, this was not your first rodeo.
Yeah.
I gotta say, it felt like you guys were rocking and rolling and moving and grooving.
It was smooth. We were on.
Everything worked. And I, you know, we hit the button for a new mead and didn't hardly have to wait any at all. It just.
We did a few new things to make things more efficient back there.
Mm-hmm.
And they really worked out. It was really nice. But and also, stewards we had last year, are some were judges this year. And last, you know, like we talked about Tanner and Rose. Tanner, last year, was a first-year entry into the Valkyrie Horn and won a gold medal for his, I think it was Earl Grey mead.
I think that's right, yeah.
And he came, he won a gold medal, and then this year, the Thursday before the competition, tested out to become a judge at the Valkyrie Horn here. And it can happen, guys. You can do it. And it's, you know, I personally think they gave up a lot of fun. They helped us out a little bit at one point. But, yeah, this is something you can do, guys.
When I would love to take credit for saying, oh, yeah, no, you guys have all these volunteers because of us. But it's a fantastic program. They deserve that that level of engagement.
But if you did, if you tried to get in because we said give it a try and didn't get in, don't give up. I guarantee you it's worth it. I've been doing it 3 years now, never had a bad year. And that's including the bottle geyser that hit me, even including that. So, spring an extra shirt. But anyway, so, well, I mean, they'd have the truth. Who was the guest speaker?
That was Dr. Tom Repas. He makes some okay mead, as he likes to put it himself. Very sharp guy when it comes to
Very intelligent.
very various different like parts of the frustrating part about his speech. And as I understand it, it's not recorded anywhere, so there's no way to go back and rewatch it,
Yeah.
which I would prefer to do.
Yeah, no, he knows. He knows his stuff.
There were like five different parts of that speech where he's like, I could spend an hour talking about XYZ, XYZ, and XYZ. And like, okay, where do we get 5 hours?
And that was never brought up again.
I want that 5 hours.
But we did talk to him
Yes.
at the end of the at the end of the competition, and he's agreed to an interview online with us.
Yes. We got to talking a little bit, just kind of a, oh yeah, it's nice outside. Let's, not
But
be inside while it's crowded and people are trying to finish judging.
yeah, it's really loud. But
Yes.
he really sharp guy. He actually successfully and got medals and awards for two meads that I would never have crossed my mind unless I heard from him. One was the mushroom mead, and you said it was oyster mushroom mead.
Yes, I had to pick his brain about that one because as I have mentioned before, I'm getting into growing mushrooms, and now that I'm getting moderately, modestly more successful flushes, like I can make more than one dinner out of the results, maybe we need to try mushroom meat.
And the other one, I don't think he's tried it, but he's interested in it, was black garlic meat.
Yes, that came up in the discussion. And to say that there was a lot that came up in that discussion that I don't remember all the details is
It's like saying the sun's a bit warm.
it's a little bit of an understatement.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a problem.
But amazing guy, really knowledgeable. I mean, I kind of wish it was recorded, but I don't think we could have kept a PG rating in that one because we're all sitting here so much of the time. But great speaker. And then we had a trivia contest the next day that we got second place in.
Yeah, our team got second place in the trivia contest. Let it never be said that learning Polish was a completely useless choice in, on my part.
And now you've told everybody you speak Polish a
Well,
little bit.
we talked about Polish meats,
Yeah.
and I apologized in Polish for the way my Polish sounds. Sorry again for anybody that speaks Polish. Przepraszam.
But because he knew Polish, some of the questions were actually quite easy for him.
That was 8 points.
That was 8
Boom,
points
boom.
right there. So he's buzzed. We're sitting there going, what the, what the, what? How can he answer the questions? It was that fast. But guys, it's, I'm hoping by the time we get this out, we can get a couple of these people to talk to about it. But even if you don't, this is completely a great thing to do, and we are both stoked. We actually travel over 6 hours to go to this competition and back.
Yep.
It's
And
another
this
6 hours
is the
back
third
home.
time that the two of us have gone together to do this. I've gone at least twice on my own, prior and maybe 3 times.
But we had people there from LA, Florida. We've had people there from Texas. We've had people from overseas come to this. This is not, no, it's, if you went to this, it's not in this big auditorium. It's at a beer, microwave.
Yeah, it's a microbrewery on kind of on the riverfront in Fridley.
Fridley, Montana, Minnesota. A great place is the Forgotten Star
Yes.
is the name of it. Kudos to them. They've been fantastic hosts for the 3 years I've been there. Really cool people, always willing to help us out if we have problems or whatever. So, but it's not a huge place to be in for this thing. We're putting a lot of stuff in a relatively small area. But, again, we went through 700 meads and we didn't lose one. We lost no meads the entire time, but people just sent it in. So this is something worthwhile.
I mean, I'm sure your soiled diaper meat just wasn't tried, but I don't know if I would count that as no
It
lose.
wasn't lost. It made it to the table. So it didn't get lost. It made it to the competition. I'm not saying it was a good thing, but it made it.
Let's just say the ultimate fate of that bottle was not Valkyrie Horn's fault.
No, it was not about. But yeah, and yet we had some meats there that were not great, but pretty good. We had some meats there that were really good. We had a couple of them that were just a fact, straight up amazing.
You know, the fun thing that I really like about judging competitions is that you see the wildest swings in both directions for the home bead making competitions. You see people that are trying ingredients that are so ridiculously expensive and rare and wild that they make no sense at scale. Like,
In the vegetable category, I saw two meads that had avocado honey.
yeah, and that's not even that wild. Avocado honey is really fun. I would love to try some, to play with
And
that.
the one I tried was pretty good. I'm not going to lie. I mean, you could taste a little bit of avocado in it, but it didn't taste bad.
It doesn't taste much like avocado, but it has a nice, earthy, kind of, mellow, malty flavor to it that is really good in the right instance.
Yeah.
But, you see some people that they're probably spending hundreds of dollars on what I hope is just a 1 gallon batch, just very small
Yeah.
quantities, playing with ridiculously, expensive or wild stuff and making something that is shockingly fantastic.
Yeah. And
That's
honestly, guys, if you're doing this and you're starting to make your own home meats, send it in because invariably, most of the meats sent in by the home people taste better than the professionals. As a standard, not 100%, but as a standard, generally I enjoy them more.
That is, that can be the case a lot of times.
Yeah.
We had a really good year for pros, though. At least the stuff that I tasted.
Yeah. Our commercial stuff was good this year. I'm not going to argue that. But I still enjoyed a lot of those little bottles that came from homebrew. A lot of them were even more.
And the homebrew, like I said, they can justify a small batch of ridiculously expensive stuff, ridiculously cool, rare ingredients. Like Kevin was talking to us at the bottle share last night about that carrot blossom, not carrot blossom, dandelion blossom honey that he sourced. Dandelions are one of the first floral sources for bees. So you take dandelion honey from bees, you're taking basically their only food source first in spring. By the time other stuff comes online, there just isn't other stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's rare to get.
And it tasted like that grassy.
Yeah, a little grassy, a little almost mentholy, but not really minty. It had a little the green vegetable character to it. I don't know if I would have nailed down dandelion from the flavor, yeah, no, it's a weird thing, and the fact that you could do that at a small batch level as a home mead maker, where you're not trying to fill up a 5 to 10 barrel fermenter to turn a profit as a professional meat maker. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, but yeah, the just you get these wild combinations, really cool combinations. And honestly, we come out with more ideas of things we want to do or want to look into doing or do
For
want to do
sure.
than we have on our list already. But we're going to do differently now from being here and being like-minded people.
Now, by the same token, though, you get way worse swings in the wrong direction too.
Yeah,
People
fair.
will try something that they thought was cool sounding or something they saw on a YouTube or TikTok video and slightly misinterpreted. Hopefully, slightly misinterpreted it, and they're not actually being told to do it as bad as what I've seen in a couple of these. But yeah, no, there's just something that did not quite mesh the way that they were anticipating it would, and now it's a problem. And it's
But I'll be honest, the ones that don't work, I don't think about them anymore. I
right.
make notes about the ones that do, and that's where I go.
Yeah, no, they are your problem for as long as they're sitting on the table in front of you, and that's not very long, generally.
It's not very long. But because to be honest, we had two tastings on Friday and three on Saturday to get through those 700 bottles, and we did it.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, no, this year, comparing the home to the commercial, we had a lot of quality. Really quality commercial offerings too.
So much so that we're looking to make some purchases for some merch ones we liked.
But you know, the way the bottle share works after these events is those partially open, partially drank bottles will migrate their way to wherever that bottle share is happening, and they'll be available so people can, you know, look it up. Hey, you know, got this apple pomegranate, whatever. Cool, try that. You end up seeing a bunch of different stuff. So we have a number of things that we found very interesting and very worth pursuing.
We found some ones we've seen before, and they were good and they were fine. And even the commercial ones are getting a little better in some areas. So
no, I did a number of best of show rounds for commercials, and I tell you, picking the number one in a best of show round, whether it's home or commercial, is generally pretty easy. You're looking for, hey, that style of mead is very well expressed here. It is perfectly expressed. It is an interesting flavor concept or a nice flavor profile or a classic flavor profile. You're doing very convenient. Well, one of those, generally. The trick is, more often than not, picking, you know, which is going to be number three and which gets no award. And that was a pain in our butts this year because there were so many good ones, and we only get three awards per category.
But number one was obvious, but number two and three were hard.
More often than not, obvious.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha.
So deciding, like, oh, yeah, I've got, you know, my little best of show situation here has five meads in it, and three of these need to get medals. How do we do this?
And actually, one of the things that you were entering a couple into the best of show tasting, you were having a discussion with your partner on that one.
Oh, yeah. No, I was, one way or another, like, when I was doing just the best of show tasting, that was a solid hour's discussion over three different flights of bean. When we were doing regular flights, we were doing regular flights, and I had to advance generally two, sometimes three beads up the chain to an actual best of show round.
Yeah.
Still hard.
Still hard, okay.
I mean, the obvious answer, the easy answer, is, well, just take the one that scores the highest and the one that scores the second highest and move that on to best of show, buddy.
No.
Easy peasy. No, the stuff that goes to best of show is not only about points. Points is a rough guide. Points is a useful guide because generally, if you have something that is higher in point value than something else, it's going to taste better. It's going to be a better representation of that style. That said, doesn't work like that. Generally, you're determining best of show based on intangibles and enjoyability. And
somebody else's opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Very different than the people that judge you first round.
But yeah, but honestly, guys, I mean, we have gone on and on about the Valkyrjorn, and we're going to go on and on about the Valkyrjorn because it's such a good experience as a mead maker. Probably the best part of the show is the bottle share. I mean, you know, just being able to, here, I brought this one. I was wondering about this part of it that I don't quite like. And then you get six people telling you, hey, try this, try this, try this.
Right. Another flavor thing that you showed me from our, especially on the commercial side, that pineapple habanero.
Yes. I forgot about that till just this moment.
That was exceptional. That was, I mean, so this was a session meet, and it was in a can.
Yes.
And I don't remember if it was like a 6 or ABV, 6 ABV.
I don't remember what it was. I didn't look,
to be honest. It was a session meat. It was a low-air ABV meat. But the flavors were not low.
No, they were
amazing. This was not a seltzer situation they had.
And the habanero was not hot.
It was there.
It was there.
It gave you a little tingle. But it was very much, you know, on its own.
It was the flavor, not the heat, for the most part.
Right.
And it was real, and guys, you've heard me talk about this time. I don't do heat. This was good.
I tasted this, and I wanted, not only did I want several bottles of this for my drinking consumption, but I also wanted to use this idea to make a toast.
So Jeff and I actually talked about doing this. We're thinking about making our own session.
Is it?
Is it going to be a session, or is it going to be a standard?
Which one?
The habanero pineapple.
Oh, yeah. No, I think we need to do that one as a session.
Okay, we're going to do this session, which, if those of you don't know what a session is, it's like 0.4% to 7.5%, something like that.
Basically, anything 8 or lower.
Yeah, you know, it
was a fairly easy
but
way to think about that.
We just had to do a couple things else, and would you like to put out what we're going to try on it?
Let me see if I remember everything we're going to try.
Okay,
I know we're going to try one, grilling with pineapple.
Yeah.
Two, we were talking about using mango. Maybe grilling said mango
Yeah,
too.
maybe grilling said mango. Yeah.
There will be habaneros.
Yes.
So we're going to use those. Those, obviously, by virtue of being habaneros, those come smoked.
And we may even grill that to get that. I mean, we're going to take all those seeds and pith out because I was
Sure.
enjoying this.
Yeah.
But that's our plan for this inspiration of the pineapple habanero, pardon me, pineapple habanero we got that absolutely blew me away. I mean, I did not want to try it till one of the people I was working with, the other stewards I was working with, says, "Here, try this. I don't like habanero. It's too hot." No, try this. And just he grabs my arm, puts a glass in, and says, "Drink." And I did because, okay, if you're that bad, it isn't that important to you. Wasn't spicy. It was just plain good. But that's on our plant now because of that.
Now that said, I'm kind of interested in not only the pineapple with possibly mango, but doing some more sesame beans just for funsies. And there's still all kinds of ideas that I am kicking around and adding to my list and things like that because no, this has been a multi-year campaign for me, but the people that are interested in seltzers and stuff like that, the light little kind of fruity, do whatever, low calorie beverages, you see taking up more and more space in the fridge, freezer aisle in your local supermarkets. I want to offer something like that, but with flavor.
Yeah.
And I think session meats is the way to do it.
And I've never really made sesame simply because I usually make standard to sack.
But we have seen some session meats that were real damn good.
We
And
saw we've got there were some good ones there. I'm not gonna argue that fact.
the downsides here are that you spend less honey making them, get less drunk drinking
Okay, that's honestly a worthwhile endeavor.
them. Compelling arguments, yes.
But it's about the flavor, But because we've had so many really good session meats come across, that cherry cinnamon one was good. We had a strawberry rhubarb that came through.
Nice.
And I think I ordered a bottle of that too.
Nice. Even better.
So I got that information. Because of where I'm at in the contest, I get to see sometimes the commercial bottle name. So I get to do that. Whereas the judges never see that.
And even if you don't get to see the necessarily the commercial bottle name, those tags could, with a little bit of research, lead you to the manufacturer.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, they
yeah.
do a pretty good job covering up, I'll be honest.
Not all of them do, but yeah, Valkyrie's, from what I've seen, does really good.
They do a great job.
You know what else threw me about the whole stewarding and bringing glasses to the table though this year though?
But.
This year, instead of using basic plastic cups, they're using compostable disposable cups that can actually break down.
Yeah.
And they had a special container for those and everything.
And we had a special bag to throw the disposables in, so we're ready to compost them.
The problem is, all of those have a little green ring reminding people that yes,
This is compostable.
that this is compostable, blah 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 blah.
But if you
And
hold it up in the light.
or if you're sitting at one of the back tables and the steward brings over a tray full of yellow to light, straw colored meats.
It
They're using
looks.
those green lines as the fill line, I'm pretty sure, or at least
Yeah,
close
they told us
enough.
to. They told us
Yes.
to.
So from the right angle, which I was frequently, for whatever reason, sitting at the right angle, it looked like they were getting a lot of green meat.
Yeah. Well,
And or blue meat sometimes, just from the color contrast, but that's not something I expect a meat to be colored.
a
And there
comment
was a
of the
lot of it.
day happened today. One of the judges said, "That looks like they put uranium in it." It was uranium green because it was so pale, but the light coming through the window made it shine just this glowing green. It was hilarious.
Ridiculous, but it's also nice that they're taking that step and creating less waste too.
Yeah.
I don't want to know how many cups we went through this weekend.
No, you don't. I got a good idea, but you don't want to know.
Anyway, so I think that will do it for our recap on the Valkyrie's Horn 2026. We hope to be back for 2027, and you're gonna have to put up a roadblock or something to keep us out, probably.
Yeah.
We had a great time this weekend. We enjoyed the hell out of it. We're going home for a quick day of rest before resuming the rest of our duties, and hopefully we will be getting in touch with some of these guys for interviews as soon as the technical stuff on our side is figured out too.
Yeah. We're gonna have to spend the day doing that, man.
No, we're gonna have to get that sorted out, but we'll be well worth it.
Yeah. Guys, thank you for joining us today. I know this is kind of a we're fanboying this
Little
one.
bit, yeah, a little ad hoc, a little okay. Well, we're just we had a little time. We wanted to talk about the fantastic weekend we had, so why not?
Yeah. So happy meeting. Give us your comments online at info@themeathouse.com. Tell us what you think. Tell us what your ideas are. Let's talk. Because right now, Jeff and I are both pretty excited to continue doing what this thing we love.
Yeah, absolutely. And
This is definitely a high.
we are switching into, hey, we didn't even complain about the weather this episode, but
No.
we are getting into the spring weather for sure. And so
When it's warm in Minnesota, it's warm.
it's warm everywhere,
Yeah.
but that means it's also time to start making some of those, summer beads
Summer meat,
for the
yeah.
hot days of the year coming up.
So anyway, guys, thank you for joining us. Happy meeting. Take care of yourself.
See you guys next time.